Okay, just a little bit of background to this shir. This is our, seventh or eighth year already doing a Haggadah shir, however many years the shul is around. So the first number of years, I just picked various vartlach from throughout, from various different Haggadahs. And it's something that always bothered me about that approach, because deep down, and even really not so deep down, I do not believe that's what the Seder night is supposed to be. I don't think it's a night of vartlach. It's a night of Chizukei Amuna. It's a night where we express to our children what we truly believe and what it means to be a Jew, and we tell the story of the birth of a nation. So it shouldn't really just be a collection of artlach. So starting last year, I decided to, instead of take a random collection of artlach, to go through a classic Haggadah and basically take out what the Haggadah is actually trying to tell us and what message we're actually supposed to derive from the Haggadah according to whoever's Haggadah we're reading that year. So last year we did the Nesivus's Haggadah, the Maisa Nisim Haggadah, which is probably one of the best ones out there. And the Nesivus was all about the major message the Nesivus drew from the Haggadah, from almost every paragraph of the Haggadah, is that Hashem loves us and Hashem cares about us and Hashem takes care of us through the Gullus, and there's going to be a future for the Jewish people, and that's what it's all about, and that's what we're trying to express to our children. This year, I chose a different Haggadah, even though there was plenty more in the Nesivus probably that we could have done. I chose the Haggadah Imre Shefer of the Netziv. This is what the Haggadah Imre Shefer used to look like, and this is what it looks like now. He apparently wrote a lot more. So, this just came out, the newer edition, with tons and tons of footnotes. It was put out by Rabbi Cooperman, the son of the Rabbi Cooperman who put out the Meshech Chachmas, put out this beautiful Haggadah of the Netziv. The Netziv is not an easy read. His commentary to anything is not an easy read. His commentary to the Haggadah is no exception. So it's very helpful to have those footnotes. Unfortunately, after I read through the entire Haggadah cover to cover and broke my teeth over it, someone just showed this to me today. I still don't own this. This I borrowed. So, Bli Neder, I guess one day I'll get back to it and really maybe understand it more fully. To put it, I guess to emphasize how important the Netziv thinks his impression of the Haggadah is, the Netziv writes in one place that putting out, and Rabbi Cooperman quotes us in his introduction, that before he put out the Hamak Davar on Chumash, he went through a tremendous amount of Agmas Nefesh to try to raise the money to be able to publish the Hamak Davar. Can you imagine a classic like that, and he couldn't publish with all the stuff that's published today? He couldn't find someone to sponsor the Hamak Davar on Chumash. It's unbelievable. But he said that there was Baruch Hashem, the publisher was willing to give him a substantial loan, or willing to give him a substantial line of credit where he was able to publish the Hamak Davar, but he almost wasn't able to do it. He almost wasn't able to pull it off. Yet, considering all those expenses and how difficult it was for him, he insisted in his yeshiva in Valazhin that every single Talmud in Valazhin had to have an Imre Shefer. And he gave as a gift to each Talmud in Valazhin the Haggadah Shel Pesach Imre Shefer, that his Haggadah he thought was critical to really understanding the Seder night. So what I did is I summarized, to the best of my ability, 28 different sections of the Haggadah in the outlines in front of you. We're not going to get to all 28, but whatever we do, and whatever we don't, you should go and learn. The Netziv develops several themes throughout the Haggadah that keep on creeping up. And in fact, the way he understands these themes helps us understand all of the introductory remarks to the Haggadah. Because a lot of times, at a lot of Siddurim, half the time is spent on why is Halach Ma'anyan Aramaic, and darshaning the Ben HaChacham, and we never actually get to the, when it comes to the actual Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to darshaning the Psukim of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's just davening it up, let's already get moving. So the Netziv actually finds reasons that those paragraphs have to be the instruction to the Haggadah, and how thematically they really set up the entire story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So just to make it a little easier, what I did is I picked out 4 yesodos that I think the Netziv likes to highlight throughout the entire Haggadah. The most important yesod is number 1 that I wrote over there, that the most important point the Maggid emphasizes is the degree of Hashkachas Hashem on Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for the Jewish people, looks after the Jewish people, and goes out of his way to make sure that the Jewish people are safe and taken care of. And not only that, but that we are the cause for all of the good that happens in this world, as well as for all of the bad that happens in this world. Meaning, we are a lightning rod of sorts for Hashkachas Hashem, and however HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates himself in this world, it comes through us. It comes through Klal Yisrael. And this message, obviously, is not only a Pesach message. It's emphasized on Pesach, but it's a year-round message as well. So that is point number one that the Netziv is going to develop throughout. Point number two that he develops is that the greatest gnus of Klal Yisrael, we say, the Gemara says that we have to be in Mishnah, we have to be maskil b'gnus of Mitzrayim b'shvach, that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to start with negative and end with something positive. The greatest gnus that we have is the fact that so many of us weren't really interested in leaving Mitzrayim. And that's something that the Baal Haggadah is going to emphasize as well. Third point that he emphasizes over and over again is that during the times when we had a Beis HaMikdash and we had a Korban Pesach, the emphasis of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim would be the Korban Pesach. And we would talk about the Pesach al Shum Shapasach al Batei Avoseinu b'Mitzrayim. We would talk about our Kodesh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses of our forefathers in Mitzrayim. That would be the primary emphasis of the Haggadah. Nowadays, that we don't have the Korban Pesach, just like the Iker Mitzvah Salayla used to be Korban Pesach, and nowadays the Iker Mitzvah Salayla is Matzah, so too when it comes to the Sipur, it used to be that we were Misaper about the Pesach, and now the theme that we are Misaper about more than the Pesach is matzah. It's all about matzah. And he's going to explain why that theme has to change. Not only because we don't have the mitzvah of Pesach anymore, but that the theme has to change from Eretz Yisrael to Galus. He's going to explain why that is as we go through the Haggadah. And the fourth thing that he tries to emphasize is that a lot of what we do, even though we don't have a Korban Pesach, a lot of what we do is we try to mimic the behavior of the Jewish people when we did have a Korban Pesach. So a lot of things that we do don't really make sense in our context, but they are practices that we maintain because we are still trying to maintain those practices of a people who do have a Korban Pesach. So let's start with the psicha. The Netziv starts out, he has a psicha to all of his svarim, he has an introduction to all of his svarim on each of his each of the svarim and chumash, he has a psicha to his commentary, and the Haggadah is no exception. And he writes that most of the seder is meant, as we just said, to mimic the way we acted while we ate Korban Pesach. And the only time we find where we break from that, where we act differently than the way we acted when we brought the Korban Pesach, is if we feel it's going to compromise some sort of halacha. So he gives two examples of this. Number one, he quotes a machlokas Rambam, Tosos and the Rambam, about eating matzah after chatzos halayla, where the Rambam permits, if you didn't eat matzah up until chatzos, the Rambam says, okay, it's still good, you could still eat after chatzos, even though by the Korban Pesach, it's already Sovzman, it's already, you would not be able to do that, because the Netziv is concerned that if we don't allow that, then someone who didn't eat matzah before Chatzos is not going to eat matzah at all. He's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So because it's a concern that someone will compromise a halacha, we therefore break from what we did when we had a Korban Pesach. That's number one. And the other thing he suggests that we do a little bit differently is that Tosfos permits eating the Afikoman after having fallen asleep, but the Rambam doesn't. And Tosfos says that it's okay because the Iker Mitzvahs Matzah, according to Shitas HaTosfos, is the Afikoman. The Mitzvah of Matzah that we get nowadays is with the Afikoman. So the Halacha by Korban Pesach is you fall asleep, you blew it. You fall asleep, you can't eat the Korban Pesach. But when it comes to Matzah, which is supposed to be in place of the Korban Pesach, nowadays, yeah, we're still allowed to do it after we fall asleep. Why? Because if we don't, we're going to mess up the halacha. Then it's going to cost us a mitzvah. So whenever it costs us a mitzvah, that's when we veer from the behavior that we had when we had a Korban Pesach. What are examples of behaviors that we do to mimic the way we acted when we had a Korban Pesach? Well, the classic example, most notable example, is washing for karpas. We don't really wash for vegetables anymore. This was something when they were very makpid on taharos, it's something that they used to do. When was that? When we had a mikdash, when we had a Korban Pesach, when we had to bring a korban, b'tahara. So that was when they would wash for a wet vegetable. We don't do that anymore, so we maintain that behavior on the Seder night, only because that's the way it was done when we had a Korban Pesach. Another example that he gives, which is unique to the Netziv, others don't hold this way. There's major literature on the topic of why it is that we wear a kittel on the night of the Seder. Netziv says it's nothing to do with Misa, nothing to do with Kapara, nothing to do with any of this stuff. The idea of it, or with being like a Malach, nothing to do with any of that stuff. The idea of wearing a kittel for Achilas Kachim, apparently, they required a certain Beged Choshev. You needed to dress special, put on some sort of special beged in order to eat a karban. So as a way to commemorate that, we still put on a beged chashuv, even though we're not actually eating a karban. That's what the Netziv believes is the source of the kittel. If I'm not mistaken, in Rav Soloveitchik's Haggadah, there are three Rav Soloveitchik Haggadahs now, in the first of the Rav Soloveitchik Haggadahs that they printed, the Hebrew one, the Siach HaGrid, that Rav Yitzchak Lichtenstein put out many years ago, probably going back already 15, 20 years he put it out. So in the Siach HaGrid Haggadah, he says that Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that explanation of the Netziv, because he said if that were the case, then we should all be wearing a kittel. Why is it only the married men or the people leaving the Seder or whoever it may be that are wearing the kittel? This sounds like it was a din in everybody. But anyway, that's the Netziv's idea. That's his psicha to the Haggadah. So again, the psicha is just that we are supposed to mimic the behavior of what we did when we had a Korban Pesach. So how does the Haggadah start? Kehalach ma'anya. And this sets the tone, says the Netziv, because remember, one of our yesodos was that the emphasis of the Haggadah has shifted. It is no longer about Korban Pesach, it's now about matzah. This paragraph was obviously introduced in Bavel, that is why it is in Aramaic and not in Hebrew, and it borrows from the pasuk, lo sochal av chametz shivas yamim tochal av matzos lechemoni ki b'chipazon yatzasim imitzrayim l'man tiskar yom tzeskha, etc. And the Gemara Pesachim says that refers to the Zman HaGolus, that we are supposed to eat matzah for and not eat chametz for 7 days as a remembrance to the chipazon. So apparently, lechem oni, that term, that terminology of lechem oni, is a terminology that's reserved for times of galus. So the Netziv has two explanations of this paragraph, one al pi pshat and one al pi agada. Al pi pshat, he says that any bread that's eaten without any other sweeteners and without anything else that goes along with the bread is lechem aniyim. It's the definition of lechem aniyim. Not going to have in front of you some of the Maror Mekomos and Shas that he has for this idea that when you add sweeteners, when you add something else, when you add some meat, when you add something to it, it becomes lechem ashirim, but without it, it's lechem aniyim. So bizman habayis, it wasn't lechem oni. Why not? Because when we ate the matzah, it was together with the Korban Pesach. So together with the Korban Pesach, it's not lechem oni, it's lechem ashirin. Nowadays, kehalach ma'anya, this is lechem oni, only nowadays, b'zman hazeh, that we don't have a Korban Pesach. It's transformed itself from lechem ashirin into lechem aniyim. That's al pi pshat, he says.
That pasuk is in the Torah that applied when we had Beis Mikdash also.
Right. So he quotes a Gemara that says there are different psukim, a lot of psukim in the Torah that talk about the mitzvah of eating matzah. So he says that the different psukim relate to different stages in history of what the emphasis of the mitzvah is. Just like you have different psukim that talk about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, one addressing this son, one addressing that son, right? So you have different psukim that talk about the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So he has a Gemara that that seems to think that this pasuk addresses specifically this time period when we're in Galus. So Al Pi Agada, he says as follows, that Pesach Doros, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, but not that first Pesach when we left Mitzrayim, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, the Matzah and Pesach, according to Hillel, we eat them together, right? Hillel's the Korech man. He's the one that wants to put the Matzah and Pesach together. But even Hillel is Moda, that by Pesach Mitzrayim, we had them separate. That's what he tied in, that even Hillel would be Moda, that first Pesach, that first time when we left Mitzrayim, we did not have the Matzah and the Korban Pesach together. Why would that be the case? So the Netziv explains as follows. During the Zman HaMikdash, again, this is the one of his Yisodos. During the Zman HaMikdash, the Iker Mitzvah is Pesach, and it's all about Pesach. Now that we don't have a Mikdash, now that we don't have a Pesach, the Iker Mitzvah is Matzah. Pesach Mitzrayim was supposed to set the tone for every future Pesach celebration, both those that will be Bizman HaMikdash, as well as those that will be when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So we couldn't put them together in Pesach Mitzrayim, because we have to show that there are two unique emphases based on the different times in history. So we had Pesach separate, and matzah separate. So that's what we say, ba'arad mitzrayim, that kohol achmanya di'achlav asana ba'arad mitzrayim, that we're eating the matzah alone without the Pesach. Which, when did we do that? When was the first time we ate matzah without Pesach, even according to Hillel? Ba'arad mitzrayim. It was that first year when we were leaving Mitzrayim. When we came to Bavel, we were eating matzah without Karban Pesach, and we say, this reminds us of what we used to do, ba'arad mitzrayim, to emphasize the chipazon, which was not emphasized at all when we were in Eretz Yisrael. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't the emphasis of the Agada. The emphasis of the Agada would have been the Karban Pesach when we were in Eretz Yisrael. That's how we understand Halach Ma'ani, setting up the story, that we're setting up the whole emphasis of what we're going to talk about is the chipazon as we were leaving. So then we go on to invite people. Kol dichvin yesev yechol, kol disruch yesev yivsach. So he says this highlights the one difference, one major difference that we have between now and when we used to have a Karban Pesach. And that one difference is that you couldn't invite people last minute when you had a Karban Pesach. That's clear, because the halacha is for a Karban Pesach prior to the Shechitas HaPesach, everyone had to be minuyin ala karban. You had to register whoever was going to partake of that karban, had to be pre-registered on the karban. Last-minute invitations were not acceptable. But yet, the rest of our behaviors are still meant to mimic everything else that we do, that we did at that time. Why do we care so much to try to model our behavior after our behavior at the time that we had a Karban Pesach? Two reasons. Number one, hashata hacha. Right now we're here, which means that in the future we're not going to be here. And when we're not here, we need to be ready for that time. We need to be ready and know how to behave and know what to do. And so we're practicing. This is our training for the future. That's the hashata hacha. That right now we're here. We need to practice for the future. That's why Chafetz Chaim used to emphasize the learning of kachim. He'd say people have to learn kachim, not because I think it's so important to be involved in the lumdus and not know halacha lemaisa. No, you need to learn kachim halacha lemaisa, because what's going to happen? Mashiach's going to come. We're going to build a base of mitzvahs. We're not going to know what in the world to do with it. We're not going to know how to do anything. So you need to learn in order to practice for the future. If you really believe that it's coming. And the second reason that it's important to mimic the behavior of the Karban Pesach is Hashata Avdi, is that right now we're Avadim, and in order to get out of Avdus, as the Midrashim we spoke about in Shabbos HaGadol relate, in order to get out of Avdus, you need Zechuyos. It's not enough that the time is up, right? The Midrash tells us the time was up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chishei V'Saketz, it was already time for Geula, but he couldn't do it because we didn't have any Zechuyos. We need zechuyos in order to get out of galus. Hashata avdi means we need to do something to generate zechuyos for the geula. So we invite guests as an extra zechus for the geula. So we're saying, look, we're trying to imitate our practices of the Karban Pesach, and that's why hashata hacha, we're doing that because we're trying to practice for the future. But we're doing one exception to that. The one exception is we're inviting guests. Why are we doing that? If we're trying to mimic our behavior and practice for the future, well, then we're not going to be able to invite guests. Why are we inviting guests? Because Hashata Avdi. We need a zechus. And inviting guests is a great zechus that hopefully is going to bring us to an ultimate ku'ula. So again, that introduces the Agada. Now we move into the actual body of the Haggadah. So after the Manishtana, the questions are asked. Unique year, I'm not saying over any parts on Manishtana. So the answer begins, Avadim Hayinu L'Parav D'Mitzrayim. Now, interestingly, when we say Avadim Hayinu, we quote, you know, if you look in the, I should have told people to bring a Haggadah. When we say Avadim Hayinu L'Parav D'Mitzrayim, we quote a pasuk, except we quote it inaccurately. We say Ve'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Biyad Chazaka Uvezeron Natuya. So the pasuk that we're quoting, or at least that we begin to quote, is in Parshas Ve'eschanan. It's Dvarim Parak Vav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The words Bezeron Natuya do not appear in that pasuk. We're adding two words to the pasuk that simply do not appear in the pasuk. So the Netziv says this is very strange. We begin our answer by misquoting a pasuk. So he says, what are you going to tell me? That we're just trying to emphasize how great it was, so we just use terminology that's used from Parshas Kisavo and elsewhere in the Chumash to emphasize how great it was? And then where's Ba'oso Submovsim Bimorugad? Where's all that stuff? All we just say is that Biyad Chazakov Zeron Natuya, and that's it. So why is it Zeron Natuya that's emphasized more than anything else? So the Netziv points out a very fascinating Ha'ara. He says, taking us out of Mitzrayim, what's the great miracle? Hashem is Hashem. Meaning, if you think about the story, it really doesn't make any sense. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Moshe, you need to go tell Paro, let my people go. And Moshe goes, says, let my people go. And Paro says, no, 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 I will not let them go. And Moshe says, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Goes back to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, he said, no, he's not letting them go. Not? Okay, maybe go back again and bring him some blood this time. And we'll see what happens. And no, he's still not letting them go. And there's like this negotiation that goes on until Paro finally says, okay, get out of here. Oh, Baruch Hashem, now we can go. It's ridiculous. He's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He can take us out whenever he wants. He has to negotiate with Paro. It's only when Paro says it's okay that he can let him go. What's this great miracle that Hashem overpowered Paro? Hashem made Paro. Of course he can overpower Paro. It's ridiculous that Hashem needs to get Paro's permission. So says the Netziv, the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a double miracle. Of course, if you have someone stronger, you could always overpower the weaker person. But he says, take a mashal. He says, let's say you have a man holding a poor, defenseless little bird in his hand. And the man is not the strongest man. Let's say he's like me. And then you have a very big, strong man who really loves that bird and wants to save that bird. So what's the strong man going to do? He's going to say, I'm going to kill you if you do anything to that bird. Okay, but I still have complete control over this bird. It's in my hand. You come attacking me, I'll just squeeze, and the bird is going to be gone, right? I still have him under my control. And not only that, this bird has developed an attachment to me. You might want to take it. The bird's not going to leave because it likes me. It views me as its owner, so it's not interested in really going. The great miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a double miracle. Number one, that Klal Yisrael wasn't interested in leaving. Large segments of Klal Yisrael were perfectly happy, if you could say that, were not all that interested in taking the risk of leaving. At least they knew what they had in Mitzrayim. The great unknown of the Midbar was not that appealing to them. So large segments of Klal Yisrael were not that interested in leaving. That's number one. Number two, all the Jews were in one place. See, we view the fact that we are scattered all over the globe as a very negative thing, and we wait for kibbutz galios. But the truth is that, and obviously we hope for kibbutz galios, and we hope for the Umos HaMashiach, where we're not going to have to garze even kevis, we're not going to have to worry about the Umos HaOlam. But so long as we have to worry about people who are anti-Semitic and who want to destroy us, the more spread apart we are, the safer we are. As a nation, not as individuals, but as a nation. Because even if someone, God forbid, attacks the Jews in a given location, somewhere else there's going to be a thriving Jewish community. Somewhere else we're going to be building and we're going to be rebuilding. Klal Yisrael was all under Paro's jurisdiction. Everyone was right there. They were the bird in his hand. And Paro could have just squeezed. And we would have all been gone. So the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not that Hashem was able to overpower Paro. Of course he's able to overpower Paro. Point was that A, we didn't want to go, and B, Paro could have, we were all in one place and Paro could have just destroyed us. And he says this is the ultimate maschil begnus of the Haggadah, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to use a Yad Chazaka, which is a reference to the Haggadah says later on, Yad Chazaka Zu HaDever. Dever does not mean the Makkah of Dever. The raya that it does not mean the Makkah of Dever is because we talk about all the Makkos. Why would we say Yad Chazaka Zu HaDever and single out Dever amongst all the other Makkos? No, it refers to a different Dever. It refers to during Makkas Choshech, when the riffraff was wiped out from the Jewish people, and we didn't have to worry about those who weren't interested in leaving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the problem, that problem number one, that we didn't want to go, by getting rid of the ringleaders of those who didn't want to go, and leaving those who really did want to go. Zroa Netuya refers to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of the other problem, that Paro could have just squeezed and destroyed us all. Now God is going to say later on, Zroa Netuya Zu HaCherev, which means that as long as Paro felt anxiety, and as long as Paro was being pushed, he couldn't think straight. The guy holding the bird, if he would stop and contemplate for a second about the power he held in his hand, might squeeze the bird. But if you're hitting him, and he's just trying to, avoid being hit, and he's constantly being bothered, he'll never stop to think, to squeeze the bird that's in his hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zu HaCherev. Zroa Netuya is dafka what we want to emphasize over here, because that's the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's how the Netziv understands that paragraph of Avad Mayinu. Move on to some shorter ideas. We then say, V'ilu lohotzi, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out of Mitzrayim, V'ilu lohotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaSavsenu Mitzrayim, Harei anu v'neinu v'nei v'neinu m'shubadim ayinu l'paru b'Mitzrayim. So he says, that's hard to believe. Superpowers rise and fall. Look what happened in our own lifetimes. in terms of Russia. And you know, we see things like this happen. So Mitzrayim would really be still ruling over us if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out of Mitzrayim? Says the Nativ, yes. Why? The idea that superpowers rise and fall is something that began at Matan Torah. And it's done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world that way. That became the new Teva and Matan Torah to protect the Jewish people. Because Ein Pranas Bo Li'olam Ela B'Shvil Yisrael, all tsaros and successes and failures of everybody comes through the conduit of the Jewish people. The rise and fall of governments is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that Jews are able to survive. No one becomes so powerful that they'll be able to squash us and rule over all of us. And that's why there are governments that rise and fall. But had we never left Mitzrayim and never gotten the Torah, then the nature should be that when you have a government that's completely powerful, why should they fall? Why should everything fall apart? Nature would have been that they would stay, in power forever and ever. So that's part of the Hashkachas Hashem. Again, these themes are themes that the Nesiv keeps coming back to. That Hashkachas Hashem on Klal Yisrael, and the way Hashem runs the entire world, is based on how He wants to treat Klal Yisrael. And that's the Ilu Lo Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had God not taken our forefathers out of Mitzrayim, the whole nature of the rise and fall of governments would have been entirely different. Would have been entirely different. Bizman hazeh. That's how the Nativ says. Good. Moving on now. Vafilu kulanu chachamim. The Haggadah moves on and says, even if we were all very wise men, we were all very smart. Kulanu nevonim, kulanu zakenim, kulanu yodim es haTorah. Still, we'd have a mitzvah to saper biyitzias Mitzrayim. So the Nativ points out that if the primary purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we are trying to be mechazik our emuna, and chachamim and nevonim are people who already have very strong emuna, so why is it that they need to be involved at all in the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? The whole point is to create a sense of emuna. We already have a sense of emuna if we are chachamim, nevonim, yodim es haTorah. These are different modes, and he's going to explain this when he gets to the Dal Banim, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of developing a sense of emunah. Yodim es haTorah, some people relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being chachamim, by being wise men, some people by being nevonim, by being deep thinkers, some people by being yodim es haTorah, by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. These are all modes of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are all people who already have emunah. So why do they have to be misaper about Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Maggid is telling us, says the Nativ, that the mitzvah applies to anybody, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mitzvah, it's not for us to question whether the mitzvah should apply to us or not. We know of great people in our history who have tried that and failed because of it. Shlomo HaMelech, thinking he can handle as many wives as he wants because it's no problem. He's so strong that he'll be able to handle it. And he was when he was younger. Problem is, he then got a little older and didn't have the strength to handle everything that was thrown his way. And then Tzivi gives a mashal. He says, just like a human body has different limbs, some of which are very critical and some of which don't seem necessary at all, but even when you remove the unnecessary limbs of the human body, it will upset the entire equilibrium of the body and the whole way the body functions. So the same is with mitzvahs. For some of our mitzvahs, we think they're very important. Other mitzvahs we don't look at as being so important, and we think we could basically still run our lives pretty effectively without those mitzvahs and still be believing Jews. But still, even when you take away the so-called unimportant mitzvos, it upsets the way the whole body of mitzvos interacts with each other, and the whole way we practice our religion. And we've seen what happens to people who start cutting away mitzvos that they find lack meaning or lack a sense of relevance to them. Ultimately, they're left with nothing. They cut out one piece after another piece after another piece, and all they have left is Tikkun HaOlam, or whatever it is, you know, they're vague concepts that they can't really put their finger on because they've cut away all the mitzvahs. We've seen how this happened. It's not like 38 of the top 50 rabbis in America only believe in Tikkun HaOlam. That's the only Yikra Emunah that they believe. I don't know if you saw the list. 50. Again, I was snubbed. Can't believe it. So that's what the Nativ says. Very strange phrase we find in the Haggadah. Kalamar b'lasaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim hareze meshubach. Anyone who tells a lot about the Yitzias Mitzrayim is meshubach. And Nesif says, what kind of halachic category is meshubach? Is it a chiyuv? Is it, you know, what is this exactly? He says, adraba, if you don't tell the When are we talking about exactly? We're talking about during the Shas Achiv, during the time where you're supposed to be telling the story? Well, then it's not just Meshubach, you're a Rasha if you don't do it. The mitzvah is to tell the story during the time of the story. The Gemara Nida says, and the Gemara says, what do you mean? Snua? Rasha Nami Mikri, if you're not Mekayim Divrecham, you're a Rasha. It's not, you don't get any compliments, pats on the back for doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Okay, but what does Marba mean? If it's, so he's saying, if it's during the Shas Achiv, well then, that's not Marba, you're supposed to be talking the whole time, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, during the Shas Achiv. And if it's after the Shas Achiv, then it's no mitzvah at all. Why would it be even Meshubach? So it says in Tziv two explanations, I don't want to say Vartlach, two explanations. Alpi Pshati says, the mitzvah is to be mitzaper throughout the entire Shas Achiv. However, we have other mitzvahs to do at that time also, like eating matzah, eating marar, we have other things to do. Depending on how much you prepare in advance, prepare the Seder in advance, it will determine how much time you have left free to talk. Meaning, if you didn't prepare your karpas and your matzah and your maror, and you gotta, you know, wash the vegetables and cut up the whatever it is that you use for the karpas and prepare the salt water, if you gotta do all that, while it's already during the time of being Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, well then obviously you're going to have a lot less time to be Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Haggadah is saying that anyone who prepares a lot in advance so that they maximize the time that they can speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Harezeh Meshubach, that is very praiseworthy. That's Pshat. He says, but the Haggadah, Al-Derech Haggadah, he says, maybe we're talking about past the Zman HaChiyuv. And it's not baltosif, and it's not worthless to speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim after the Zman HaChiyuv, because Yitzias Mitzrayim, as we said, is the yisod of the whole Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, is building emuna. And that's not something that's unique to Pesach. It applies year-round, and it even has a mitzvah year-round. That's Zuchiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Elamai Zuchiras Yitzias Mitzrayim doesn't demand more than a quick mention each day. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim demands a telling of the entire story. But even when you're past the time of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's still a kiyum to be Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because that is part of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's part of the foundations of our Emunah. And he says that's why the Haggadah goes right into the story of the Tanaim in Bnei Brak. Because we know the Shitas of various Tanaim. Reb Lazar ben Azariah, they held that the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is only until Chatzos. And therefore, the mitzvah of Sipur stops. It's Mishash Matzah Mar Menachem Lefanecha. Stops at Chatzos. And even Rabbi Kiva, who holds the mitzvah Zad Amud HaShachar, would hold that it doesn't go until the Zman Kriyashma, which is Mishir Eschaver Midal Ramos, which is a later time. So none of them held that they actually, that the Zman mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim goes up until the time that they were actually doing Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. None of them held that way. And yet they were still doing it. Why were they still doing it? Because Kol HaMarba HaRezeh Meshubach. Marba past the Zman of the Chiyuv is Meshubach, because that's still part of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why the very next line in the Haggadah is the drasha of Rabbi Lazar about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the number one kasha everyone asks? Right? What's all that about? That whole drasha is about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And everyone asks the kasha, what's it doing in the Haggadah? That Haggadah is about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? How did that paragraph break into the Haggadah? Says the Netziv, that's exactly the point. It's a follow up from Kol HaMarba HaRezeh Meshubach. Kol HaMarba HaRezeh Meshubach means that since we have this twin mitzvah of Zechira throughout the year, Sipur makes sense even beyond the Zman of the Chiyuv. And that's why that story in Bnei Brak makes sense. They were going beyond the Zman of the Chiyuv. Why? Why does it still make sense? Because it's all about one thing. It's about Emunah. And Emunah is something a Jew needs to take with him 365 days a year. It's not something that's limited to one night of the year. And the more you're marba, you're chizaka Emunah, harezeh meshubach, of course, throughout the year. So it follows a whole pattern of exactly the order of the Haggadah. Let's maybe skip a little bit because we're not getting very far in the Haggadah. Let's skip one of them. So we'll skip to number 9. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemasan Torah Le'am Yisrael Baruch Hu. This the Netziv is a very similar var to what the Nesiva says over here. There are four baruchs, and then we go right into Keneged Arba Banim Dibre Torah. Chacham Echad Rasha Chatam Echad Sheni Yodei Lishal. So both the Netziv and the Netzivus point out the four baruchs and the four sons are not a coincidence. The four baruchs each line up with the four sons. It says Baruch Hamakom relates to the Chacham because Hamakom means, and by the way, Hamakom is the most commonly used Shem Hashem throughout the Haggadah. Right, we use Hamakom all the time throughout the Haggadah. You pay attention when you read the Haggadah, you see Hamakom all the time. Why? Because Hamakom means, it's what Chazal say, that Ein Ha'olam Mekomo Elohu Mekomo Shel Olam. Hamakom is the name of Hashem that demonstrates Hashkachas Hashem on this world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything in this world. That this world is not his makom, he is the makom of the world. Everything runs within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the presence of the Shechina in this world. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's active involvement in this world. The Chacham is the one who relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by looking at the world and seeing God. He's the Avram Avinu who wakes up one morning and sees mountains and he sees oceans and he says, this couldn't have happened by itself. He sees God in creation. That's the Chacham. So the Chacham relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaMakom. Who's the second son? The Rasha. How does the Rasha relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Baruch Hu. Hu means I have no personal connection. When I say him, he, that means I don't know the person's name or I don't care to say the person's name. Right, that's when you see a good friend, you want to make that connection. You look them in the eye, firm handshake, and you say their name. Without saying their name, they don't feel that personal connection. The Rasha doesn't have this personal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For him, he's Baruch Hu. Third, Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael relates to the Tam. We think of Tam. I always say this every year, when you look at the picture Agadas, the Tam and the Eni Yodei Lishal, and you look at how the people who draw the picture Agadas have a hard time differentiating between the Tam and the Eni Yodei Lishal. So what they'll do is either by the Eni Yodei Lishal, they'll just put a question mark on his face instead of giving him like eyes and a nose and a mouth. But problem is, people don't have question marks as faces. So what is he exactly? Or they'll make him different ages. Right, they'll do something unusual to try to differentiate because they don't exactly know. Or the Tam will just have a circle for a mouth, like you know, and the Eni Yodei Lishal won't have a mouth. But people have mouths, so what does it mean? What's the difference between the Tam and the Eni Yodei Lishal? Says the Netziv and the Nesivus, they both say the same idea that the Tam is very misunderstood. Tam is Milashon Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. It's the person who sits and learns. It's the person who doesn't philosophize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't look outside and see the mountains and say, ah, there's God. No, he's the person who looks at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and says, there's God. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So the Tam relates to Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. The third Baruch is the Baruch of the Tam. And that's the connection between Ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha and V'hayu Advar Me'ele. That some people, in order to achieve Avas Hashem, it's V'hayu Advar Me'ele. It's when they have the words of Torah that they connect, that they develop an Avas Hashem. And then the final son is the Eni Yodei Lishal. How does he relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He doesn't, but not because he's bad, not because he rejects Hashem, but because he's never yet developed that relationship. And we need to open him up to that relationship. But for him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an esoteric concept that he doesn't understand. It's also Baruch Hu, for a very different reason than the Rasha has, for having being removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the net result is that he's still removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he has no connection to spirituality, nor to the intellectual side of the Torah. The Eni Yodei Lishal. We have to develop him. We have to develop him intellectually so that he can appreciate the Torah. Develop him emotionally so that he can appreciate God's place in this world. So that one day he'll be saying Baruch HaMakom, or he'll be saying Baruch Shenasan Torah Li'amo Yisrael. Those are the different ways of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's skip some of the longer ones. Let's skip ahead to. Yeah, I guess Mitchila of the Avodazara Hayu Avosenu, the 13th of the Bartlach over here. Mitchila of the Avodazara Hayu Avosenu says that it's if this is a kiyum of being maschil begnus. The idea is we could ask, why should we be thankful to Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim? He's the one who put us there in the first place. Meaning, if somebody comes over to you, takes a baseball bat, breaks your leg, and then says, don't worry, I'm a doctor, I can fix it. Like, you don't say, oh, thank you so much for fixing my leg. You broke my leg. Why did you have to put me through that entire exercise? Wouldn't it have been easier to not break my leg in the first place? So, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put us in Mitzrayim, then take us out and say, please, you can thank me forever and ever now for what I just did for you. What do you mean? You're the one that put us there. So the Nitziv points out that had we never had the Golus Mitzrayim, we would have eventually fallen into the depravity of Avodah Zarah, which is what we were surrounded by before we went to Mitzrayim. We were a unique clan that believed in God because we had these amazing fathers who were charismatic leaders and were able to communicate to their children, for the most part, first couple were 50-50, to communicate to their children what they believed in, and ultimately that would have gone away. We wouldn't have had that anymore. And when Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov aren't there anymore, we would have just fallen apart. We needed to have the challenge of being in a galus in order to develop an identity. And that's and particularly in Eretz Yisrael, the Nitziv says, if we would have remained in Eretz Yisrael, it would have been very, very difficult to not fall into Avodah Zarah, because in Eretz Yisrael, you're always hoping for rain. And when people are hoping for rain, go to Africa and see what people do to try to get rain. They do all sorts of Avodah Zarah and voodoo or whatever, because they're willing to try it, because they need rain. So we would have tried anything. We would have done anything in a desperate situation if you need rain. So Eretz Yisrael would not have worked out so well for us. We go to Mitzrayim, and we see Avodah Zarah firsthand, and we see the kinds of people that practice Avodah Zarah, and we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables us to survive and to grow as a nation. We see Hashkachas Hashem directly, and again, the whole story of the night is Hashkachas Hashem, and that's why we emphasize the Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom LaAvodaso, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew us closer. He needed to put us in Mitzrayim in order that for us to be able to live a more fulfilled life of Avodah Hashem, with an appreciation of what matters and what's true in life and what's nonsense and what doesn't matter in life. So that was all part of the process that allowed us to grow. And that, so that's the paragraph, Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. We then move on. Baruch Shomer Avtachaso, we say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you kept your promise. And what did you do? She'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz La'asos K'ma Sha'amer La'Avram Avinu. That Hashem cheshbin the end to do what he said to Avram Avinu. That's a strange way of saying you took us out of Mitzrayim. Right? Shouldn't we just say HaKadosh Baruch Hu did what he said to Avram Avinu, that he would take us out eventually? Chishev Es HaKeitz, what's a cheshbin got to do with anything? So the Nitziv points out, I think this is definitely Pashup Pshat when you think about it, is that part of the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with us is he told us the deal was 400 years. We got out after 210. So we got really lucky on that. Hashem really did us a nice favor over there. How did he do us that favor? Well, he counted differently. The 400 years, yeah, but it starts from when Yitzchak is born. Why? I don't know, but it starts from when Yitzchak is born. It works better for us. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just for taking us out of Mitzrayim, of course he was going to do that eventually, but for making the cheshbon, for doing what they call favorable accounting, right? Making the cheshbon of the years work so well for us, work in our favor, that we were able to get out so much more quickly. All right, we're running out of time, so maybe I'll just do one or two very short ones. On the line, Vayanunu k'mashanemar vayasimu alav sarim isim lema'ana noso. So the emphasis of Laman Anoso, says the Nitziv, means that Paro didn't do this. A lot of times, yeah, there are people that are despots and horrible people and will put nations into slavery. Why? Because their primary objective is to benefit themselves. Free labor. Great. But what did Paro do to us? He had us as in Pisom and Ramses, Vayivan Ari Misknos Laparo as Pisom as Ramses, that Agada tells us, which means, according to the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Aleph, we were accomplishing nothing. We were running on a hamster wheel. We were going nowhere. We were building nothing. Everything we built was sinking right into the ground. So why did he do all this to us? He wasn't benefiting from it. Laman Anoso, just because he wanted to make us suffer. He wanted to afflict us. That's why in that paragraph we say Ve'anunu means that he made Sari Mislan Mana no so, and then we say Ve'yiven Ari Miskinos Laparo as Pisom as Ramses. Because that's exactly the raya that was only Lamana no so, and it wasn't for anything else. So again, just to close, the emphasis of the Haggadah, the emphasis of the whole Seder night, should be Hashkachas Habore on Klal Yisrael, a sense of emunah, and it's something that we need to communicate to our children, to anyone at our table, and mostly and to ourselves as well, about the emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's really all about. Vartlach aside, that's what we should be trying to pull out of every single corner of the Haggadah.